The following is a seminar entitled Pure Devotional Service, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 18th, 2011, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
So it is a great pleasure today to have with us the wonderful association of His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikari Prabhu and Her Grace Srimati Vishnupriya Mataji. So we are very happy Prabhu has come back to give His association to us in Jagannath Mandir. I would like to give you a brief introduction of His Grace before we start today's seminar. Today's seminar is entitled Pure Devotional Service. So, as you all know, His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu is a disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhu was born in the United States in St. Louis, Missouri in 1947 in the holy month of Kartik. And Prabhu actually met Srila Prabhupada way back in 1971. And in fact, in the very same year, in the month of August, Prabhu received spiritual initiation from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhu has been a brahmachari in our movement for almost 14 years. Subsequently, Prabhu entered the Grihastha Ashram. And of course, now Prabhu is a traveling preacher, which is, he is now in the Vanaprastha Ashram. Prabhu travels with his wife, Her Grace Vishnupriya Mataji, and travels all around the world preaching Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada personally instructed His Grace to actually take this message and preach all over the world. In fact, even when Srila Prabhupada was personally present, Prabhupada very much appreciated the enthusiasm that His Grace has displayed to share this message of Krishna consciousness with one and all. And through the blessings of Prabhupada and eventually through the permission of the GBC, Prabhu is also now an initiating spiritual master in our society, I think since the year 2000. Is that correct? Yes,
yeah.
The year 2000. Prabhu has now fully dedicated his life actually for serving the order of Srila Prabhupada by sharing Krishna consciousness. Prabhu is in fact famous as the internet guru, in the sense that Prabhu uses the internet as his medium for disseminating Krishna consciousness. Yukta Vairagya, which means how to engage everything, as Srila Prabhupada said, how to engage everything in Krishna's service. And in that way, Prabhu has managed to reach out to tens and thousands of people all over the world. In fact, his very, very famous, world-famous course, the Ultimate Self-Realization course, which now has subscribers of around 12,000, if I'm not wrong.
13,000
now. 13,000 now. Yeah. So you can see it is ticking as we are speaking. And I'm sure today we'll have a few more from here. You can visit the website www.ultimateselfrealization.com. Also, Prabhu's another website www.backtohome.com. So you can subscribe from there. So Prabhu regularly sends preachers over the internet by sending daily messages. Prabhu is also active in guiding people all over the world, both his disciples, friends, well-wishers, inquisitive people all over the world, by answering their questions online. And Prabhu has really made himself accessible to the whole world through the channel of emails and his websites. So Prabhu is very, very active in preaching there. And the subscribers are over 100 countries. So you can imagine how much Prabhu has reached out through this wonderful message. So of course there are daily inspirational messages and personal question and answers which Prabhu gives. Prabhu actually is based, his base is actually Bhaktivedanta Ashram in Texas, Austin. But of course, as we know, Prabhu travels quite a bit all over the world along with his good wife, Her Grace Vishnupriya Mataji. So we are very fortunate, especially we are very honored and inspired to see that the Grihastha couples in our society, you know, senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, are setting such a wonderful example of together preaching the message of Srila Prabhupada. It's a wonderful inspiration for me personally, and I'm sure for many, many devotees here. That keeping all their personal interests aside, when most people would retire, they have retired from material activities, but they have fully dedicated themselves to traveling around the social of Prabhupada.
So we were never in material activities.
No, I'm talking about Yeah, Mataji correctly said she is never in material activities, but for us it's a reminder that we should retire ourselves from our material activities, half-baked devotion, and become dedicated preachers of Krishna consciousness. Forgive me, Mataji. So let us welcome very, very enthusiastically His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikari Prabhu and Her Grace Vishnu Priya Mataji to Sri Jagannath Mandir by loudly chanting
Hari Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
Sorry, Prabhu.
Thank you very much.
Fond of loud because Prabhu is sensitive in his ears. So I would request Shashimuthi Mataji, can you come in, please? And so let us welcome them. Loudly chanting again. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Vande ha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Dada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So we are speaking today on pure devotional service. One may ask, why this topic, pure devotional service? The reason we are speaking on this topic is that it is the most important topic. There is no topic more important than pure devotional service. One may ask, why do we say that there is no topic more important than pure devotional service? The reason is this. We are presently suffering in this cycle of birth and death untold miseries through millions and millions of species since time immemorial. We have been suffering like anything here in this material existence. And there is no remedy. There is no solution. There is no escaping this quagmire except for pure devotional service. It's not that not by mystic yoga, not by karma, not by jnana. This is why it is repeated three times in the Brihad Naradiya Purana. Harar Nama, Harar Nama, Harar Nama Iva Kevalam. It is not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga, but only by this chanting process, which is the essence of the bhakti yoga system in this age. So, unless we can actually come to this platform of pure love of God, This means that we are still rebellious against the supreme authority. In other words, everyone has a relationship with the supreme authority, either as a submissive servant of the supreme authority or rebellious rebel who wants to defy the authority of the supreme. Everyone has a relationship with the supreme, either a submissive relationship or a rebellious relationship. So that rebellious relationship relegates us to this material world. It's like someone who defies the authority of the state, and they are put in the prison. So we have defied the authority of God, the supreme authority, and we have been relegated to this material prison. That supreme omnipotent one, Krishna, however, being very kind, has given us full facility to rectify ourselves. In other words, he's not punishing us. He is blessing us with the opportunity for being rectified. This material existence is a reformatory. It is a place where one is meant to take up the reformatory process known as pure devotional service. And what is the goal? Once you become reformed, then what is your position? Pure devotional service. So, in this process, the end and the means are the same. That's actually quite wonderful, because that means even as a beginner, you can already relish the fruit of having achieved the goal. The fruit you can already taste. Not as full as you will taste it later on, of course, but even in the very beginning, you can taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness. By taking prasad, by having darshan of the deity, by ecstatically singing and dancing in the kirtan, you see. Even in the very beginning, when we are still kanishta adhikari, struggling neophytes, we can taste the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And that encourages us, you see. That little sneak preview, that little sample taste of what it is like on the higher levels, Krishna gives us that little taste. So we are encouraged that, let me get more of this nectar, more of this nectar. That taste is fully available in the holy names. You see, especially this is our means of becoming awakened, especially this nama seva, serving the name by chanting. How much nectar there actually is in the name. So many people write me, they say, I have a trouble, I cannot pay attention to my japa. My mind is wandering here and there, you see. But actually, if we understand, we fully understand and appreciate what is this Maha Mantra, then our minds will not wander here and there. Rupa Goswami has very nicely stated in his writings, he says, That is another verse by Rupa Goswami. Or no, that is Bhagavatam verse. The actual verse I meant to quote was this verse. Tunde tandavali riteng vitinate tundavali labdhiye karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunabhridebraspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita ki yadvir amita krishneti varnadvai. Yes, that is the correct word. Rupa Goswami is saying, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate this Krishna sound vibration, that name is dancing in my mouth. And there's so much nectar in that nam that my one little mouth, you see, it cannot gather, it cannot take in enough of that nectar. So therefore I'm hankering for millions of mouths. And when those sound vibrations enter the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar oozing out of that name, Krishna, that I want to have millions, billions, trillions of ears so I can at least get a little bit more of that unlimited ocean of nectar which is out there in the name, which I can't get right now due to my limited senses. And when the name enters the courtyard of my heart, it dances there. The name dances in the courtyard of my heart. My mind becomes completely stunned in transcendental wonder, completely conquered by the power of the name. So in this way, Rupa Goswami describes this name, you see. So this is really the secret of how to achieve pure devotional service. You have to learn how to gather that nectar. Just like the honeybee, he is very expert at taking the nectar from the flower. We have to learn how to become like honeybees, how to get that, extract that nectar from the name. And once you get a taste for that nectar, Vishayavani Vardante, Niraha Rashadehina, Rashavarsang Rishopyasya, Parang Dvishtani Vardate. Once you get a taste for that nectar of the name, then nothing compares with it. Even if they offer you the post of Brahmaji, you could be the most powerful, most wealthy, all powers throughout the whole universe, so powerful person, with all success, that is nothing compared to the nectar contained in Krishna. So, to attain pure devotional service is not difficult. It is not difficult. You simply have to have faith in the name, that this name will give me everything. And that is confirmed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, throughout all the 14 worlds, there's nothing to be had, nothing worth even thinking about trying to attain, except for the name, Krishna. So in this way, if we can intensify our absorption in Hare Krishna Maha Mantra meditation, if we can intensify our absorption in the name of Krishna, then pure devotional service will be very easy to attain. So, how can we get that namruchi? You see, that actually comes by the mercy of the spiritual master. You cannot avoid guru. Many people say, you should see the emails I get from people. One man, he's adamant. He says, no, the Shastra is the only guru you need. You don't need any guru except Shastra. Where does the Shastra say the guru has to be a person? And the Shastra can be the guru. Actually, I'm getting ready to defeat him now with that verse about, unless you're blessed by the dust of the feet of a great pure devotee, you cannot. That verse will defeat him completely. Because what book has feet with dust on it? I mean, it's a book. Where's the feet? There's no feet on the book. Anybody see any feet sticking out or some toes? sticking out from the book? Is there any toes down here? No. It's pages. It's binding. Feet means a person. So, if we want to actually get that pure bhakti by getting the taste for the name, we have to go through the medium of the devotee. This is confirmed in the Adi Purana. Krishna says to Arjuna, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta state janaha, mad bhakchanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, My dear son Aprita, the one who is my devotee, name bhaktas, name devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be recognized by Krishna as being a devotee of Krishna? Then you have to go through his devotee. You say, well, I don't want to go through a devotee. I just want to go directly. What do I need a devotee for? I'll go directly and say, Krishna, I'm your devotee. He says, what? You think you're my devotee? You go, if you want to be my devotee, it's nice you have come, but now you go back and find my pure devotee and you become his disciple. And then you are my devotee. You see? So we actually, just as it's stated in the rules for the Holy Dham, that the spiritual master is the revealer of the Dham, the spiritual master is also the revealer of the Nam. You cannot get that name. That's why Prabhupada says that if you hear the chanting from the non-devotees, you should avoid it. You should avoid hearing the chanting from the non-devotees because such chanting has a poisonous effect. But if you can hear the holy name of the Lord from the pure devotee of the Lord, that name comes with full shakti, with full potency, full nectar. You see? You may say, well, how the name can be contaminated? The name is Krishna. But it has poison sitting all over it. The name is always Krishna, even if a Mayavadi chants it, but it's got all the poison on top of it, you see. You may take a nice club jamun, you know, that was offered to the deities. If you soak it in some poison and then give it to somebody, it will kill them. Even though it was deity prasadam, you see. So the name itself is pure. The name Krishna's name is Krishna himself, but it comes from a Mayavadi. Then the Mayavadi contamination is coming along with it. But if you get the name from the pure devotee of the Lord, then it has the full shakti to purify your heart, to cleanse you of the dust accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes of your endless sojourn in the cycle of birth and death through the 8,400,000 species of life. So if we will take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, and we will take the Shuddha Nam which he is giving us, and we will try to manifest that Shuddha Nam within our own chanting, that is the most important thing. Why is it that whenever there's an initiation, Prabhupada wanted the 10 offenses to be discussed? You see. One time I asked a disciple, I said, what's the requirement for going back to Godhead? Chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles? He said, yes. I said, no. That's wrong. You've misunderstood. You must follow the four principles, chant 16 rounds, and avoid the 10 offenses, and then you're qualified to go back to Godhead. Actually, if you can do that, you're qualified to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Also, Prabhupada says that. If one becomes pure in his chanting, he becomes competent and qualified, as Prabhupada points out in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He becomes qualified to become Jagat Guru and deliver the whole world, make the whole world Krishna conscious. So the point is, the more we become free from these offenses, the more we become realized in Krishna consciousness, the more we become happy, the more we become empowered to make others happy. So if we actually care for our family members If we actually care for our friends, our relatives, if we actually care for our countrymen, if we actually care for the living entities in this material existence, if we actually care for ourselves, then we should learn how to chant the holy name purely without any offense. The process of pure devotional service hinges on strictly avoiding the namaparads. Strictly. There's no question of being a namaparadi and becoming a pure devotee. You become a pure devotee to the extent that you are free from the namaparads. So, by that pure chanting, becoming free from these offenses, we will become more and more connected with Krishna. We will feel Krishna more and more present within the name. And the more that you feel Krishna present within the name, the more you will experience Krishna present wherever else he is. And where else is he? He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's in the deity. He's in within every atom. He's between every atom. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tashyaham na pranashyami sochamena pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6 text 30. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So how will we develop that vision to see Krishna everywhere? Through the name. You see. By developing pure chanting, we develop the ability to see Krishna everywhere, that everything. So we cannot overemphasize on this process of pure awakening the pure bhakti within the heart, the importance of chanting. Now note the good news. What I just stated was awakening the pure bhakti that is already there within your heart. That means this is not something artificial that you have to impose upon yourself. You're already a pure devotee, but you just fell asleep. And now you're dreaming, I am God. You see. We were thinking, what it would be like if I was the Supreme? And we kind of went off into a daydream, you see. Well, Krishna is the Supreme, but what would it be like if I was the Supreme? I'd really like to know what it would be like if I was the Supreme. So Krishna gave us a chance, because we were very much desiring to experience what it would be like to try to be the Supreme. So he gave us a chance. All right. If you really want to be the Supreme, you can try it. And when you realize that it's not your position to be the Supreme, then you're welcome to come back to your position, your swarup, in my eternal pastime. So the good news is, this is our nature. Just like a fish is naturally a swimmer, we are naturally devotees. We're all naturally pure devotees. So all this other stuff, this tamagun, this rajagun, even sattvaguna, it's some dirt. That's all it is. It's some dirt. It's sitting in the heart. It's just dirt. It's not you. Someone thinks, well, I have sex desire, therefore I have to have sex. Well, it's not you. It's just some dirt sitting in your heart. You don't have sex desire. You think you do because of the dirt in your heart. That's all. You are a pure devotee. But you're covered by these modes of nature, and therefore you think, I need money, I need power, I need fame, I need sex, I need this, I need that. It's simply nonsense. All you need is Krishna's service. It's all you need. You don't need anything else to be happy. You don't need anything besides Krishna, Krishna's seva, to make you happy and satisfied. Simple thing. You don't need anything except Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. You don't need anything except for Krishna consciousness. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had by executing pious activities, even for hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price. You know what that is? Tattalayam. When you become very, very greedy, intensely greedy, more greedy than a businessman is for making that money. When you become intensely greedy for pure devotional service, that's the requirement. Intense greed, Rupa Goswami says, tattalayam. When you have intense greed for pure bhakti, that is the price. When you have that intense greed, then you can purchase it. With that greed, you can purchase pure bhakti. So then what does Rupa Goswami advise? He says, it's available somewhere. You must purchase it without delay. It's like you've been looking for some product, you know. You're thinking, well, I really need a mango. You know, you're wandering here, wandering there, going to the marketplace. Well, who has a mango? Where is it? Does anybody have mango here? This vendor has toilet paper. This one has iPhones. Where's a mango, you see? You finally find one? Well, I don't know. No, buy it. As soon as you find one, immediately purchase. This is it. So if you're looking, as soon as you find that pure bhakti is available, immediately, without delay, Rupa Goswami says. If you see it is available here, by pure bhakti is being distributed, now let me take it immediately, without any hesitation, you see. You have the greed, now when you find the thing, that pure bhakti, take it, you see. That's how you'll get it. Have the greed, and when you find it, immediately take it. That's the secret given by Rupa Goswami. How to get pure devotional service. We have to be very greedy for it. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So we have to cry for this bhakti, you see. My dear Lord, I'm a contaminated rascal. How does, like Bhaktivinoda is praying in the Gopinath song. My dear Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal. I'm always full of lust. Nahi mara guna, I have no good qualities. You see. We have to feel very bankrupt. We have to feel I have no good qualities. Like Bhaktivinoda is teaching us. I'm just a materialistic rascal, a demon, a sutta. I have no good qualities. Please, please, my dear Lord, save me. You see, this is the mood. How did Prabhupada pray to his Guru Maharaj? He said, please save me, your divine grace. This is the mood. You must pray to your Guru Maharaj with all intensity, begging your beloved spiritual master, please, my dear spiritual master, save me from this horrible position. I'm being tortured by lust, tortured by greed, tortured by anger, tortured by madness, illusion, and envy. Please, Guru Maharaj, save me. Please, save me. You see, this intensity of the heart, this is how we become saved. We have to beg for pure bhakti. It's like someone may be captured by the terrorists and they say, now we will cut off your head. We're going to make a video and put it on CNN, cutting off your head to show how much we love Allah. So would you say, okay, Haribo? No, you'd be pleading, please, please don't cut off my head. I also believe in Allah. Krishna and Allah are the same. All glory, Allah Akbar, don't cut off my head. I'm also your Muslim brother. We believe in Allah as the Supreme also. We accept Allah as a name for God. Please don't kill me. Please don't cut off my head. Allah, Allah, Allah. In the name of Allah, please don't. We would beg. If they're going to cut off your head, you would be begging. They don't cut off your head, isn't it? We'd all be begging. Please don't do that. I accept your Allah. We accept him as the Supreme. I bow down to him. I'm willing to bow down with him. When you say your prayers to Allah, I'll bow down 5 days, every 5 times a day along with you. No problem. I'm your brother. And I'm also your brother, spiritual brother. So don't, well, you would beg. Using everything we could, every reasoning, every logic, and we would put all of our heart and soul into begging. They don't cut off our heads. So in that same way, we have to beg for pure devotional service. With that same intensity, we have to beg for pure devotional service. But how do we do our japa? Well, I got to get my rounds done. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Finished. You see? Instead of taking the rounds, this is my opportunity now to show Krishna, I really want to get out of this miserable condition. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, it all depends on the quality of our rounds, Prabhus and Matajis. How intense are we when we chant our japa begging Krishna to save us from this material hell? How intense are we when we chant? This japa is the most wonderful opportunity to attract the mercy of Krishna, to attract the blessings of my spiritual master and all the previous acharyas. This japa is it. This japa is so important. Therefore, we chant as early as possible. Prabhupada said, ideally before sunrise. You see? He says, chant, in the Bhagavad Gita purport, he says, chanting round the beads. If you really want the potency, the full potency of your chanting, don't be distracted. Well, I've got a clicker and I'm chanting while I'm driving my motorcycle, you know. Hare Krishna, Krishna, getting my rounds done. While I'm zooming along on my motorcycle with my clicker. Can you really put yourself in the right mood, you see, when you're driving your motorcycle? Therefore, the best thing is somehow or other, find a way to get up early. I calculated it today, I looked in the GCAL, all year round, you have a very special facility here in Malaysia. You have a very steady calendar. Brahma Muhurta is the same time all year long. Around 5:30, 5:40 is Brahma Muhurta officially begins. The whole year. If you go to Northern Europe, it bounces like anything. I mean, sometimes of the year, it's like at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's already completely bright outside in Northern Europe. It's amazing. At 4 o'clock in the morning, it's like, it's as bright as this. But here you have a very steady, you're very fortunate here. Your calendar is very, very steady. It varies maybe 20 minutes over the year. If you're up by 5 o'clock at home every day, you know, then you're going to cover your Brahma Muhurta every day. Because if you want, you can get up earlier too. I like to get up earlier. We got up at 3 o'clock or 3:30 this morning, yeah. You can get up earlier, that's good. But if you're up no later than 5 o'clock, then you got your Brahma Muhurta. You can be showered and all set to chant japa and the Brahma Muhurta offer an RT. You have a very good facility here for Krishna consciousness in Malaysia. Very nice, astrologically situated position in terms of the hours of the day. It's a very, very good position here for a nice sadhana, nice steady sadhana the whole year round. So take advantage of it. Get up early every morning before the Brahma Muhurta. Chant those rounds with great feeling, with great intensity. Do you think Krishna will ignore your prayer? Krishna has been waiting for millions of lifetimes when this soul will give up this nonsense, stupid activity of sense gratification and become serious about coming back to me. Krishna's been sitting in your heart as a paramatma, watching you when you were a dog, a cat, a monkey, a dragon fruit tree, or whatever they, you know, whatever it is. Krishna's been in every species watching you, wondering, when will this soul finally come back to me? Do you think he'll ignore you now that you're calling out his name and begging for the mercy? He's going to reciprocate like anything. He's going to reciprocate like anything with you. So take a cash in on this opportunity. Otherwise, you may have to wait another 8,400,000 species to get this opportunity again. You've gotten the rarest opportunity to awaken your love of God. Don't throw it away. Well, I don't know, it's okay, but you know, I want to become a famous movie star, and I want to, you know, make a few million dollars and get a really beautiful wife and need a nice house and a Mercedes. You know, a little Krishna bhakti is okay on the side, but let's not get too carried away here with this spiritual life. Don't be like that. I remember one Sydney businessman. He was very pakka, very regulated. Every Monday morning he would come for darshan at the temple. He refused to come to the class. He would come. He had a time, so when all the devotees had gone for prasadam, he would show up because he didn't want to have to interact with any devotees. He just came on Monday morning to beg the blessings of the deities for opening his jewelry store. That's all. Is it? Money, 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 money. Is it? So please don't make this mistake of coming to Krishna to fulfill your material desires. Please don't make this stupid mistake. Do you think if you go simply for pure devotional service that Krishna is not going to make sure you're well fed and well housed and well clothed? He's going to make you a wretched urchin in the street? If you simply beg for pure devotional service, Krishna will give you everything. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananya chait, what is it? What is it? Ananya chintayo. Chintayo. Ye jana prayapasate tesham nachabhyuktanam yogache mam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. And Prabhupada explains in one lecture, Krishna will personally deliver to your door all of your necessities. So when Krishna says, I carry what they lack, he's saying literally, I will literally bring it to you. Whatever you need, I will personally give it to you. You will not be lacking in anything. If you simply take up my devotional service as your only business. Exclusive devotion means I have no love. All of my love is for Krishna. Everything else can be sacrificed. I only want Krishna and nothing but Krishna. That's it. I can give up anything. Now I am fully surrendered to Krishna. He can do whatever he wants to with me. If he wants me to give up household life and be a sannyasi, I'm ready. If he wants me to have a family and raise my children in Krishna consciousness, I'm ready. Whatever he wants, I'm willing to do anything. I'm completely surrendered, whatever Krishna wants me to do. And how will you know? Will you speculate? No, you ask your spiritual master. He is Krishna's representative. Guru Maharaj, how can I please you? You see? You ask your spiritual master what service he wants you to do, and you follow him. That's how Krishna's will is revealed, through the spiritual master. So take up this mood of complete dedication to serving the order of Krishna revealed through the spiritual master, and you'll have the most wonderful life of pure devotional service. And at the time of leaving your body, you will not see those ghastly fellows who were called the Yamadutas. And you will see the Vishnudutas. Of course, that's the Vaikuntha. There's the Vishnudutas for Vaikuntha. Maybe there's the Krishnadutas for Galot. I haven't read about that in the Shastra, but I mean, the Vishnudutas is connected with the Vaikuntha realm. For those who go to Golok, it'd be interesting to read. Anybody read anything about that kind of transfer? But I know Prabhupada said very simply, then one will go to sleep and wake up with Krishna. Very simple terms, Prabhupada has explained. So, if you want to make that ultimate journey back to your original identity in the pastimes of Krishna, whatever it may be, in any one of the five rasas, if you want to regain your original identity, in which you have an eternal, intimate relationship with the Supreme, all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-attractive, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, all-famous person, then take up this pure devotional service as your only business. So now I can ask if there's any questions. I should have said, yeah, we'd like to have them written down. And any questions, you can write them down and pass them forward. Okay, the first question is, relationships are either submissive or rebellious. How about those who are neutral? Well, there's no such thing as neutral. If you're not with Krishna, you're against Krishna. Say, Krishna, I'm not really against you. I'm not really for you. I'm just in the middle. That's called... There is such a thing, but it's an artificial position. That's Bhagavad Bhagavatam says, Vimukti Maninas. It's an imagined liberation. This is the position of the impersonalists who merge into the Brahma Jyoti. Aruya krichchena parang padam tada padantyajo nadraja yushmadangriyaha. After undergoing great penances and austerities, they enter into that position where they're not submissive or they're not rebellious, but patantyajo, they fall down again. So one may temporarily achieve a quasi-state where you're not submissive or rebellious, but it won't last. It's not a permanent position.
Being just polite, that I'm not submissive, nor on the other side.
No, it's something more than that, because one may say politely, but actually they're still rebellious. The only way you can... One may say, well, I'm not against God, but I'm not for Him. But actually they are against. But there is technically a state where you're not, you're no longer rebellious. But actually that is still considered rebellious. And ultimately it is still rebellious. Because they want to be God. So actually there's no... Even that position of merging into impersonal Brahman, it's also rebellious against God, ultimately. That's why it doesn't last. It seems to be you're not rebellious, but actually you are. And only seemingly a non-rebellious position. Actually it is also rebellious. So every position is rebellious, except for pure bhakti. Which is more important, performing Mangala Arati or chanting during Brahma Muhurta time? I recommend that you should do both. And, I mean, Prabhupada always, in our temples, it was established 4:30 in the morning. So if you get up at 4 or a little bit before that and offer Mangala Arati at 4:30, you can have plenty of time to observe the chant japa during Brahma Muhurta. I would recommend... You can do Mangala Arati before Brahma Muhurta. What time are you here for the temple here? 4:30? 5? Yeah, well that's right before Brahma Muhurta. And then so by 5:20 or 5:48, depending on the year, time of the year. I recommend doing Mangala Arati, and Mangala Arati should be there. Unless you're on a really, really intense schedule, you know, you're working 12 hours a day or something, there might be a concession, but for the norm is every devotee should rise early, observe Mangala Arati, either at home or come to the temple if you can. If you're close enough, come to the temple and observe the whole morning program here. That's ideal if it's practical. But if it's not practical, then you should rise at home and you have the Mangala Arati, Tulsi worship, japa, read the Bhagavatam, and then take breakfast and go to work. That's the ideal program. Do as much as you can of that. Okay. Besides chanting of the holy name, what other services is defined as pure devotion? They're all pure devotional service. Whether it's hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, Navavidha Bhakti, given by Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, all these activities, serving the lotus feet, serving the Lord, befriending the Lord, offering everything to the Lord, all the different nine types of bhakti are all pure devotional service, if they're done in the right mood. How is chanting of the holy name connected to pure devotional service? Are we supposed to give priority to chanting or any other service that we are engaged in? The chanting is a begging to be engaged in service. So chanting means you're prioritizing service. You're saying, Krishna, please engage me in service. That's what you're doing. So when the service comes and says, well, no, I don't want to do the service, that means your chanting is not pure. If your chanting is pure, then you'll get your rounds done nicely, and then you engage the whole day in devotional service, 7 days a week. It's not that, well, I need a vacation from devotional service. Devotional service is the vacation. Indeed, that's the word we use in America anymore. In Britain, they call it holiday. You see, I'm going on holiday. In America, they say, I'm going on a vacation. What do they say here, vacation or holiday?
Holidays is more common.
Holiday. Now I'm going on holiday. Actually, holiday means holy day. Actually, where the word comes from. It's a perversion of the word holy day, holiday. So, well, I need a holiday from devotional service. No, devotional service is the holy day, the holiday. You see? So, now, we must, this is our duty. We actually, this, you say, why can't I just do service then? I love, some devotees we know, they love service, but they hate japa. They just want to do service. They do wonderful service. They're willing to do service, you know, every day, fully absorbed in service, but they don't want to touch those beads. I've seen devotees like them. So is that okay? No, because the spiritual master's order is there. And why is the spiritual master's order there? Because that chanting fine-tunes our consciousness. See, you can do service in a passionate mood also. Some people are doers. They have a passionate nature that like to do things. It's Rajagun. So you can act, you can be doing service in Rajagun for your whole life and not go back to Godhead. But this chanting is sattvic. This chanting fine-tunes the consciousness. So you can do your service in a sattvic mood. You don't have to give up the passion. Use the passion, but this passion must be based on sattvic. You see, if you don't base your passion on sattvagun, what happens to it? It degrades into tamagun in due course. So take your passion and base it on a quality japa, and then that service will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and you'll never degrade into tamagun.
Isn't it said that all the other things are just the servant to improve our chanting?
Everything else will help you improve your chanting. Actually, they all feed into each other. The service helps us improve the chanting, and the chanting helps us improve the service. They all feed into each other. Does that answer your question? Okay. What one tip you can give to overcome desire for money? I don't advise you to get free from the desire for money. Prabhupada said a businessman can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world, a Krishna conscious businessman. We never say, stop desiring money, you know? No, you desire money for Krishna. You should desire unlimited money for Krishna. You see? Whether it's through business or preaching, we want unlimited money for Krishna. You see? Just imagine if we had millions and billions and trillions of dollars, all the advertising, all the billboards of the world, all the magazine ads, all the ads on the internet. Just imagine if we had enough money to buy every ad space on the whole planet. I was seeing I'm staying in an apartment building right now. There was a little ad in the elevator. It said for so many. Whatever you call your currency, you can have a poster in the building here. So I was thinking, just imagine if every poster in every building throughout the whole planet said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Wherever you go, every billboard, every TV ad, every single advertisement in the whole world said, chant Hare Krishna if you, and be happy. Then everybody become Krishna conscious, because everywhere they go they see Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So that requires, with money, you could do that. You could buy all the advertising space. Just like on the highway, do you have billboards on the highways here? Yeah. Just imagine all the way to Penang, every billboard said chant Hare Krishna. Or you had the whole Bhagavad Gita, you know. The first billboard was Bhagavad Gita 1:1, and you could read the whole Bhagavad Gita just by going down the highway. You see what I'm saying? So that requires money. So Prabhupada says preaching requires money. So if you desire money, go for it and offer it to Krishna. Prabhupada said that Sita, money is the goddess of fortune. Sita. So Hanuman, his business is to take Sita away from Ravan and bring her back to Ram. So in the same way, you should take money away from Ravana and bring him back to Ram. So if you desire for money, go for it. Bring millions and billions of dollars and offer it to this Krishna consciousness movement, you see. We have no objection if you become a multi-billionaire. We'd love to have a few here in the temple. I'm sure the management wouldn't mind if some of the members became multi-billionaires. That wouldn't... Oh, Prabhu, you shouldn't do that. It's Maya. Actually, we had a business one time. In the early days of ISKCON, the devotees started a business called Spiritual Sky, and it was the number one incense company in the whole United States. It was such a big success, the Wall Street Journal came. They did a story on the Hare Krishna Spiritual Sky incense business. And some devotees said, that's Maya, you know, making money. And Prabhupada said, anything that makes $1 million a year for Krishna is not Maya. It was making big, big money at that, during its heyday. Spiritual, and of course the competition came in, but, you know, when they saw the Hare Krishnas were doing, we were making big money with Spiritual Sky incense. Prabhupada loved it. They would have devotees would sit there, you know, making the incense in the factory. They'd have bhajans, you know, Krishna conscious tapes playing the whole day, you know, just sit there Hare Krishna making incense for Prabhupada's movement, you know. Okay, how to develop faith in the holy name? Well, you have to associate with those who have faith in the holy name. That's why you need a spiritual master. The spiritual master means one who has total faith in the holy name. That's guru, you see. So by taking shelter of a person who has complete faith in the name, you will also develop faith in the name. How to get intense greed? Well, we all have it already, but we're greedy in the wrong way. That's the problem. We're greedy after sense enjoyment. That's the problem. Transfer your greed. Understand that my greed for eating, sleeping, mating, and offending is doing nothing but making me miserable. Now let me transfer my greed to where it's going to give me some benefit. What is Srila Prabhupada's expectations from his disciples or grand disciples? Well, Prabhupada told his disciples, and this order is valid for everyone who is in the Prabhupada Sampradaya. He told us in Los Angeles, he said, become guru, deliver the whole world. So there you have it. You have to become, to do that, you have to become, to be a deliverer of the world, you have to become an offenseless chanter of the holy name. So Prabhupada wants us all to become offenseless chanters of the holy name, and he wants us to deliver the whole world. That's our mission given to us by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Srila Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisance. This is my humble question, request. When? Do the spirit souls associate again within the spiritual who wrote this? I can't read a word here. Do the spirit souls will associate again with his spiritual... Oh, I got it, yeah. Does the spirit soul associate again with his spiritual master after achieving the kingdom of God? Yes. Undoubtedly. Prabhupada explains that the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions and his disciple lives with him. So actually the disciple is eternally connected with his spiritual master. Well, will I recognize him? Because, you know, I'll be in my sarup, he'll be in his sarup. Well, I recognize him. He won't have the same body. Well, we recognize Prabhupada. He may be a cowherd boy or a gopi, whatever he may be. How will we recognize Prabhupada? Because we're used to this Prabhupada, you know, from here in America, this planet. You know, will we recognize him? Of course we'll be able to recognize him. There's full cognizance. There's full knowledge. We'll be able to see, oh, this gopi or this cowherd boy, this is Prabhupada. And here's an amazing thing. You know those wish-fulfilling trees? They give you whatever you want. If we had a desire to see Prabhupada as he was here, Channing and then Tompkins Square Park, because we missed... How many of you missed the pastimes in Tompkins Square Park? I missed it also. I always lament, why didn't I join the 26th Second Avenue? I mean, I really lament, because in the summer of 66, I was in New York. Can you imagine? Oh, my. In the summer of 66, when Prabhupada was starting the movement, I was in New York. I was working at a summer camp just north of the city. I came through New York. I was just a few miles up the road from New York City, teaching kids how to play the guitar at a summer camp. That was my job in the summer. I was just right up the road from New York City. Prabhupada was down there starting the movement, and I was up there teaching kids how to play the guitar. It's going, wow. So I missed it also, the 26th Second Avenue pastimes, the Swamiji days. I missed them. You see. So actually, Krishna can give it, when you're a pure devotee, Krishna can give you whatever you want. If we have a desire to see those pastimes before our very eyes, that desire can be fulfilled. So there's no limit to what Krishna can do for his in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada did say that one will be able to remember one's activities on this planet. We'll be able to remember the day I got initiated here on the earth planet, the day my spiritual master gave me the beads. We'll be able to remember our spiritual master vividly and all the instructions he gave me. All these things will be remembered. Prabhupada explains in the spiritual world we can remember all this stuff. So it's going to be pretty fantastic. I advise everybody to go back in this lifetime. Don't loiter in this rotten place, hankering for sex pleasure and money pleasure. I mean, give yourself a break. Get out now. Wait, I mean, give yourself a break. Okay. Can you please share two pastimes? Look at the number two here. Can you please share two pastimes with the divine? Why two? Or A. Anyway. Well, one thing I always tell people, and that is, The spiritual master has two presences. He has his physical presence and his vibrational presence. See, Prabhupada always told us the vibrational presence is more important than the physical presence, because the physical presence is sometimes present and sometimes not, but the vibrational presence is always there and it's more important. That means his instructions. So, from the very moment that I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master, way back in the spring of 1971, over 40 years ago now, I've been constantly associating with him in my heart. I accepted Prabhupada in my heart as my eternal spiritual master, and he's been in my heart ever since. So actually, I'm having a pastime with Prabhupada right now. So, and they keep getting sweeter and sweeter. So this is the sweetest pastime I've ever had with Prabhupada is right this very minute. You see, because I'm constantly associating with him, and it's always getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. But I know you're asking about Vapu pastimes, not Vani pastimes. That's what they always want to hear, you know. So I'll be merciful. I'll give you some Vapu lilas. Vani Lila is unlimited. Vapu, I had some really nice Vapu Lila with Prabhupada. This is before I was initiated. I was a young brahmachari who had come over from Texas with the Vishnujana Swami's crew, a bunch of brahmacharis he had made there in Texas. And this was the Los Angeles Temple. This is around July of 1971. And every morning, Prabhupada would go on the famous morning walks. He would go for the walk, and they would drive him somewhere where he'd go on the walk and drive him back to the temple. So he would come back from the morning walk. The car would pull up in front of the Los Angeles Temple. How many of you have seen the Los Angeles Temple? Yeah. Those steps going in. See, previously, you saw the Fate Museum also? Anyway, the Temple Room used to be over in what's now the Fate Museum, which is in between the two buildings, kind of. But now, it used to be like a congregational room or a meeting room. Now it's a temple room with the steps going up. In the beginning, there used to be it was a Christian church, there was a bunch of pews in that big building. They use it for like maybe the serving the Sunday feast or something. But then they eventually took the pews out and made that the temple room. So anyway, so Prabhupada got out of what is now the temple room. Of the complex there. And he would walk down the sidewalk, and his quarters, you see where the quarters are in the back? He would then walk along the sidewalk and then go, he'd come out of the car here, and then he'd walk like this and go to the back of the building and go to his quarters up here, you see. So, they had a very special arrangement. It was really sweet. Every devotee got to have their own little personal moment with Prabhupada. Every single devotee. They would give every devotee a flower, and we would line up, and Prabhupada would have his basket of flowers. So then Prabhupada would come down the line and go to each individual devotee. You got to have your own personal moment with Prabhupada. It was so special. He would give Prabhupada a flower, and he would hand you one. And then you go to the next one. You see. So I was standing there at the front of the line, just behind Vishnu Janaswami, who was the first one in the line. He got more than a flower. He got a hug. Wow. I was so enlivened. My leader, who made me a devotee, Vishnu Janaswami, he got a hug from Prabhupada. I was in bliss to see him getting hugged by Prabhupada. I wasn't envious. I was in bliss. I felt like I was getting hugged because I was one of his men, you see. When I saw Vishnu Janaswami get that hug, I felt like I was getting hugged too because I was one of his men, you understand? So there's no envy in the spiritual world. I was feeling like I was getting a hug just by seeing my leader get hugged, you see. So anyway, I gave Baba my flower. He gave me one. Now I had a flower that Prabhupada gave me. Wow, that was pretty special. I was holding that special flower in my hand. And then Prabhupada went on down the line. You know, one devotee after another devotee after another devotee. But, you know, when you see Prabhupada, it's not like seeing an ordinary person. It's like seeing Krishna. I mean, it's just like if you saw Krishna standing there. It's not an ordinary thing. Well, it's all Prabhupada. When you see Prabhupada, you don't want to lose. You want to keep that Prabhupada in your. It's like wanting to drink Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. If you understand, it's like you drink some charanamrit. You take it into your body. So Prabhupada is the ultimate charanamrit, you see. His darshan is the ultimate charanamrit. And when you see Prabhupada, just like you take the charanamrit, you want to take Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. You understand the simile? So one little darshan wasn't enough. So I stationed myself on the steps there because I knew Prabhupada was going to be coming down the row and coming on the steps back to his room. I stationed myself along. Before he got there, I ran ahead to station myself for another darshan of Prabhupada because I wanted to drink more, get him deeper and deeper into my heart by taking that darshan as he came by on the way to his room. So I'm standing there all alone on the steps. I wasn't in line with everybody else now. See, I'd stepped out of the line. And I'm standing there all by myself, this lone little brahmachari, standing on the steps, looking at Prabhupada as he walks by, just, you know, looking at him, you know. With a gleam in my eye, I'm sure. And so Prabhupada was so merciful, I couldn't believe it. Prabhupada noticed me standing there. And Prabhupada was thinking, I wonder if he got a flower yet. Because he's not in the line. I wonder if this brahmachari got a flower yet. He didn't. There was no words exchanged. It was all body language and facial expression. But Prabhupada saw me up there. He still had the basket in his hand. He held up a flower. Like, have you gotten one yet? Like that. Now, I could have lied, thinking, well, I might not get another flower, but I would never lie to Prabhupada, never in a million years. And I didn't say it was all body language from my side. It was no words. It was all, you know, expression. And I went, I held up my flower to show him I'd already gotten one. I nodded my head, yet, you see. So that was a very special moment for me. It was the first time my spiritual master physically noted me, like noticed me, you see. I wasn't just in the crowd. It was me and Prabhupada having that interchange. He wanted to make sure that I didn't miss the mercy, you see. So in this way, I could really understand Prabhupada loves me. He really loves me. He cared so much that out of all these hundreds of devotees, this big crowd of devotees here, he singled me out to make sure that I've gotten a flower, you see. So this was my very cherished moment for me in my memory of Prabhupada. And so then I got many. I'll give one more, since it looked like a two here. It looks like two pastimes, the number two. The way the handwriting is, it looks like a two. So I'll give another one too. And this is a Vani Leela. Because to be honest, I was not in a big temple where Prabhupada visited often. I was not in Los Angeles or Mayapur or New York or Chicago. I was in a little tiny outpost, the Austin Hare Krishna temple at the time. And actually, Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He offered to come to Austin, but my temple president, I'll never forgive him for this, I don't think. He said, oh, well, I'm afraid we'll commit some offense, so we better not invite him. Prabhupada was willing to come, but he didn't want to invite Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote me that he was willing to come to Austin, but our temple president was scared to invite him. Oh, we might do something wrong. We don't want him, better not come. That was really a big mistake. Really a big mistake the temple president made. Prabhupada had written me. Anyway. So I was in a remote center, and but I found a way to get the Vishnu Jamaraj, my leader, suggested to me. I had some questions that he didn't really know the answer for. So he encouraged me to write Prabhupada. So I found a way to have a very intimate contact with Prabhupada is through writing letters to Prabhupada, because I was suggested to do that. And but actually this pastime goes before that, because of course many devotees have Prabhupada to be there. You do the yajna, he hands you the beads in the yajna, and it's really auspicious. He gives you your name, he gives you the beads, it's all right there, very auspicious. Well, I was in Los Angeles, and most of the devotees got initiated. But I had joined the temple like 2 or 3 weeks later than they did, so there was a strict rule. You had to be in the temple for 6 months. So all the other devotees sat there and got their names, got the beads. I had to sit there and just watch. And I did. They wouldn't recommend me for initiation because I had only been around for like 5 months instead of 6 months. Oh, I had to wait. Of course, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. Sometimes you have to wait for initiation. It's good because it increases that desire, which is good. So anyway, I missed the initiation. But now, as soon as the 6 months were up, Vishnu Jan Maharaj very mercifully wrote Prabhupada and said I was doing very, very, I was doing very nice service. I don't know how he could say that. It was really a pretty wild character, but very kindly, he wrote Prabhupada, I was doing very nice service in the temple. And he recommended me. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter from London, accepting me as his disciple. And by separate post, the beads came through the mail. I got the name and the beads in two separate mailings. And but there was a special, you can say, well, you didn't get them directly from your hands, and you really missed out. But, you know, I got a special opportunity that most devotees didn't get, because now how are you going to give your dakshina to Prabhupada? Now you get to write Prabhupada a letter and give him your dakshina. I realized this is a special opportunity, because I collected some Gurudakshina at the yagya. So Prabhupada's not here. You usually hand your Guru Maharaj the dakshina after the day of the yagya, you see. But my Guru Maharaj is not here. I have to mail Guru Maharaj my Prabhupada my dakshina, and now I get a chance to write Prabhupada a letter. So, being very inspired by Vishnujana Swami, wanting to spread this movement, I told Prabhupada, I want to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. That was my first communication. I wrote him. I expressed that desire. And Prabhupada wrote me the most wonderful letter back. He said, I can see that you are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy who is anxious to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and Krishna will surely bless you. That has been the greatest treasure of my life, that order from Prabhupada, you see. He told me he saw my enthusiasm for spreading this movement. Now he ordered me, you must always be enthusiastic for spreading this movement. In this way, he ordered me to spread this movement with great enthusiasm. And I can tell you, since Prabhupada has left, there's been a lot of ups and downs of our society. We've been through the good times, the bad times, the beautiful times, and the ugly times in our movement. But one thing I've never lost, I never lost my enthusiasm in all circumstances, because Prabhupada ordered me, continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. And you know what? Prabhupada was right. Krishna's been blessing me nonstop for the last 40 years. So I've come here to spread those blessings that I'm getting from Prabhupada and Krishna. I've come to share those blessings with you, and I appreciate very much your coming today to hear this seminar. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.